My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
The blueprint for a global deep state takeover. Sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Well, it is. As a matter of fact, the deep state has moved to completely take over what we may think is going on in a war. And even worse, it's a blueprint for what's coming in the rest of the world. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the way the world is changing as we look at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. And today, again, all three. We look at the convergence of these three things. And today, when we peel back under the hood of what's going on, we can see something much more sinister. It's not always what it appears to be. Now, what got me sort of digging down this rabbit hole, if you will, was looking at what's going on with Tucker Carlson going over to meet with Vladimir Putin over there in Russia and the way that the legacy media has been responding to that. We also saw this week, we saw the Democrats, the Biden administration, try to ram through a border security bill for whatever, $118 billion, but none of the money went for the U.S. borders. Instead, over half of it went to Ukraine. Now, that bill was dead on arrival. I'm not going to go into the depths of that bill right now. However, now the Democrats were probably using that as leverage to say it was all the Republicans' fault. But more importantly, for the point of this conversation, is now they're running through a Ukraine bill. So what is this insistence with Ukraine? What is going on with Ukraine when pretty much the whole world already knows that it's over? It's been over for a long time. It was over before it ever started. The poor people of Ukraine are getting slaughtered. There's pretty much no hope of victory. I had, Colonel Douglas McGregor on? We talked about this in depth. It's widely accepted and known that there's no way Ukraine gets that territory back from Russia. So what is the point of us continuing to send another now $60 billion over there? Well, if you dig in, you'll see that it's not exactly what it looks like. So why is Ukraine so important? Well, it all goes back to the global deep state and the takeover they're trying to do, and more importantly, what they're trying to do in Ukraine that can become the blueprint for the rest of the world. So what am I talking about exactly? Well, the World Economic Forum, which is sort of the meeting place for would-be globalists. It's where everybody flies to Davos every single year to talk about how they can take over the world. The globalists at the World Economic Forum are led by Klaus Schwab. Now, Klaus Schwab has written a couple of books. I highly recommend that you read them. I don't typically like to say what was in those books because I sound like a crazy person for repeating those things. But one of the books that he wrote was called The Fourth Industrial Revolution. And it's important that you read that book if you want to know where they want to take the world. I like to say that I take them at their word. It's because I've gone and I've listened to them, I've read their books, and I know exactly what they're trying to do. This is, some people want to paint it as, you know, some sort of a conspiracy, but if it was a conspiracy, they wouldn't be writing books about it. Now, the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab's books really only build on the ideas that the UN had put out before, which we'll get back to in a minute, but let's stay on this point for a minute. So in this book, The Fourth Industrial Revolution, Klaus Schwab writes out what his vision for the world is. What is that vision? Well, it's a digital revolution. So he talks about the first, second, and third industrial revolutions that we had, machine power, steam power, electricity power. But the fourth industrial revolution is what he's calling the digital revolution. And ultimately, what he sees in this fourth industrial revolution is a fusion of technologies that's blurring the lines between the physical, digital, and biological spheres. That is a direct quote off of their website. Okay. I'm not going to go deep into the book because, again, I sound crazy if I read from it. So it's coming directly off of the website. That's a quote. Again, fusing technologies that blurs the lines between physical, digital, and biological, man and machines. All right. It's like what Elon Musk is doing by putting chips inside human brains. I just saw this week, they just did the first human implant of that. Blending the lines between man and machine. Digital fabrication technologies, meanwhile, are interacting with the biological world on a daily basis. This is off of their website. Engineers, designers, and architects are combining computational design, additive manufacturing, materials engineering, and synthetic biology to pioneer a symbiosis between microorganisms, our bodies, the products we consume, and even the buildings we inhabit. Now, to quote Klaus Schwab, again, this is all a quote off their website, but to quote him directly, he says, "It doesn't change what we are doing, but it changes us. It changes us." So, Let me read back a key piece, a couple key pieces here. So it doesn't change what we do. It just changes us. Us as in me and you, as in us as humans. He says, materials engineering and a synthetic biology to pioneer symbiosis between microorganisms, our bodies, and the products we consume. At the World Economic Forum that they had at Davos a few weeks ago, one of the speakers was showing a pill and how you take this pill, you eat it, and then it turns your body into like this walking computer and tracker, and then they can track everything and it reports everything about your body. That's what they're talking about. These things that we can take in our bodies, the products we consume, is what they're saying. And it changes us. Now, I talked about this deep state takeover and the blueprint, and I'm talking about Ukraine. So how does all of this tie back in together? We're going to tie it back together. Before, let's continue on just a little bit with this point so you can understand what's going on here. The Center for the Fourth Industrial Revolution is a platform, this is off their website, for stakeholder capitalism is the governments and the corporations. We used to call it fascism, call it corporatism, call it whatever you want. They call it stakeholder capitalism. Multi-stakeholder collaboration, bringing together public and private sectors to maximize technological benefits to society. Well, I think what they meant to say was to maximize benefits for themselves, probably not for society. We don't need the government involved for us. It's always been the private sector that comes up with the ideas, has the ingenuity, has the drive to go build, to go improve the world, to solve problems. It's not the government. It's not the government stealing the money from you and I, the more productive people, giving it to the less productive, squandering, wasting the money through bureaucracy. It's never been that way. But if it's in their own interest, could we get public, us as the government, and private sectors, private business, to work together to give us tools for our benefit? What kind of tools are they talking about? Blockchains, CBDCs, digital IDs, health passports. You get the drift. Total surveillance. Now, why would they want that? We're going to come back to that in a minute. But let's talk about where it's being used. Because right now, it's being used in Ukraine. As a matter of fact, there is a World Economic Forum and Ukraine partnership that was announced January 18th of 2024, just a couple of weeks ago. All right. Like I said, the WEF was just meeting in Davos where, you know, all the richest people in the world flew on all their private jets to go over there to tell us that they should regulate how much carbon we produce. They should tell us how much meat we can produce, how much we can travel, what kind of cars we can drive while they're flying in their private jets. But anyway, in this meeting, January 18th, they talked about this new partnership, and they announced that along with Ukraine's Ministry of Digital Transformation, it will establish a GovTech Center for the Fourth Industrial Revolution, the C4IR, in Ukraine to advance the nation's role as the esteemed leader in the digitization of the global economy. All right. So if you want to know why is Ukraine so important, why is it they're not even a part of NATO? Why is the U.S. basically going bankrupt to fund Ukraine? Why, when everybody in the United States, for the most part, is against it, even the people, one of my neighbors down the street had been running the Ukraine flag forever. They've all taken down the Ukraine flags. Everyone's over the Ukraine flags. We have bigger problems to worry about. We know it's an unwinnable war. There shouldn't be any more money going over there. They want this money to pay for the government to run. Why is it so important? Now you know. Because of what they're doing in Ukraine and how it's a blueprint for the rest of the world. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about what is going on with Ukraine and how it's a blueprint for the rest of the world with the technology they're rolling out. Don't go away. Be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back. If you just tune in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about what is going on in Ukraine and what is going on with the digital blueprint the globalists are using to roll out for the rest of the world. And we're talking about how it's happening in Ukraine. We talked about the World Economic Forum, what their plans are, some of the stuff in the fourth industrial revolution they're trying to put forth. But now let's talk about what's actually going on. So I talked about how Just a couple of weeks ago at the big World Economic Forum meeting they had in Davos, they announced a partnership with Ukraine January 18th that along with Ukraine's Ministry of Digital Transformation, it will establish a GovTech Center for the Fourth Industrial Revolution in Ukraine to advance the nation's role as the esteemed leader in the digitization of the global economy. So they want Ukraine to be the poster child. They want it to be the center. They want to rebuild Ukraine. In order to rebuild Ukraine as the digital leader, the esteemed leader in the digitization of the global economy, you have to tear it down first. So it has to be torn down, then it has to be rebuilt. Now, from the WEF, they stated, thanks, this is a quote, thanks to its U.S.-funded DIA app, D-I-I-A, thanks to the U.S.-funded DIA app, allowing Ukrainians to access essential documents and government services, it is the first country in the world to have a digital ID system that can be used nationwide. So all that money that they're sending over Ukraine that they have no accountability for, they don't know where it went, they don't know how the money was spent. We do know that Zelensky is buying multi eight-figure homes in the United States. The president of that country that we're funding is buying homes in the United States. We know that there's so much corruption. He's firing all his staff. We know that they've been getting billions of dollars out of the country. But some of that money, the U.S. has funded an app called DIA. And again, it allows them to access essential documents and government services. And it's the first country in the world to have this digital ID system that can be used nationwide. Now, again, this is just a test. This is a test. It has to be rolled out. It has to be tested, beta tested somewhere before the rest of the world. Where would it go? Well, the agency behind this is USAID, USAID. Now, it's a U.S. agency that's behind this implementation of this DIA app. And they said, they declared that it intends to provide at least $650,000 to collaborate with Ukraine to bring its digital triumph to other partner countries. All right. So again, this is the test bed. Let's roll it out here. Let's see how it works. And then, of course, we're going to spread it to other nations nearby. It provided funding to the Ukrainian government to develop DIA. It's allocated another $8.5 million to help expand the app's services. Okay. What other services does the app do? Now, look, here's the problem with technology. Technology is a tool. Tools can be used for good. Tools can be used for bad. Tools are neutral. It's all how you use the tool. So, for example, a screwdriver. In the right hands, you could fix a car, you could fix something. Or in the wrong hands, you could probably hurt somebody very dangerous and very badly with a screwdriver. A tool is just a tool. It's how you use that tool. So the problem with technology is that technology is supposed to make our lives easier and more convenient. And I want that. I am not a Luddite who was against, like the Luddites were against the loom. I'm not against new technology. I want it. I want to embrace it. I want my life to get better. The problem is I don't want it weaponized against me. That's the problem. And when you put your entire life in one app, then you're at the mercy of whoever controls that app. That's the problem. And as the Ukrainians are about to find out, it's actually a very big problem. All their worst fears are about to come true. We'll get back to that in a minute. So what does this app entail? Well, we know that it entails from birth, from the time of birth, individuals must, they have to, all Ukrainians have to participate in a monitored social contract between governments, businesses, and citizens in order to live day to day. All right. So now there's a social contract. We all have to do our best because we're not in this world alone. So we all have to think about everybody else, which look, we should, right? I follow the teaching of Jesus. We should love others more than we love ourselves. I'm for that. I'm not for a government imposed mandate of that. I'll take what Jesus had to say. I ain't going to take what Klaus Schwab has to say about this. All right. But this is what's happening in Ukraine. They must participate in this to live day to day. So let's talk about this DIA app for a minute. All right, again, DIIA. It's a massive red flag. Now, for some context, so you can understand this, the DIA app was launched in Ukraine in February of 2020. Back before the war. Interesting. Okay. And it's lauded as the state in a smartphone. That's how they call it. The entire government in a smartphone. In this DIA app, it has everything in that you need in order to interact in society on a day-to-day basis. And it's the focus of a five-year, $150 million award by USAID, and the UK Dev to the Eurasia Foundation. Now, this app didn't appear out of nowhere, right? It wasn't just like magically built. As a matter of fact, it started almost a decade ago. The groundwork for the Diya app became started about a decade ago, but it's become a global digital powerhouse. Now, according to USAID, back in 2016, the government of Ukraine, in close partnership with USAID, and no doubt to the acceleration of the World Economic Forum, it took steps to enable Diya to become what it is today. Now, 2016, you might remember, that's when the first Russia-Ukraine war just started happening, when basically the US, Victoria Nuland, went in there and did a coup on Ukraine, and sort of the US sort of took it over, and then all of these things started happening there. Now, let's just dig back into the app. We won't get into that those opinions over there. Let's talk about the app. So the app is the perfect setup to enable, to administer a social credit score system, sort of like what they have over in communist China. Sort of like when you say mean things about the government or you do things they don't want you to do, then you're not able to live your life freely. You're not able to buy bus tickets or plane tickets or train tickets. You're not able to buy food, what's happening over there in China right now. Certainly the model of freedom, but it's being done in Ukraine. I thought all the money the United States was sending to Ukraine was to defend democracy, but yet they don't have elections. And now they're building out a social credit score system so they can monitor and control the minutiae of your life. So this app is the perfect setup for social credit system. The Diya app currently connects more than 19 million Ukrainians with over 120 government services and the digital services that underpin them. Diya contains documents such as a person's ID card, which is citizens' passports, foreign biometric passports, student card, driver's license, vehicle registration certificate, vehicle insurance policy, tax numbers, birth certificates, access to social aid, international and domestic vaccination certificates, PCR tests, recovery certificates, if applicable, all of that. Everything is in one app, your entire life. One single switch that's controlled by somebody, some group. Now, using the Diya app, Ukrainians can also share digital copies of the documents and pay debts or fines. In addition to the mobile app, the Diya web portal offers over 70 different services, including COVID-19 vaccine certificates, certificates of income, issuance of a construction passport, registration of residence, housing loan for migrants, state registration, real estate rights, assignment of housing subsidies, assignment of pensions, all of that. All digital documents in the Diya app have the same legal force as their paper or plastic counterparts. So now that you understand what it is, why Ukraine? That's what we're going to talk about next. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Mark Moss Show. I'm talking about what is going on, how the globalists are building a blueprint using Ukraine to rush out this technology for the rest of the world and what's at stake. I got a whole lot more to cover when I come back. We're going to talk about why Ukraine next. You don't want to miss it. Don't go away. Be right back.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
All right, welcome back. If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the globalist plan, the digital blueprint that they're building out right now. Pretty scary stuff. Now, I'm not going to recap everything we've talked about, but basically it's an app that they've developed in Ukraine to control every aspect of your life, every single aspect, every single interaction with the government, all your legal documents, everything. But I'm going to go back to the question, why Ukraine? Well, moving the world a step closer towards its target of the society, a smart city. You've probably heard of this. So the goal is to get these smart cities. The smart cities, again, I want the technology. I'm not a Luddite. I like technology. I just posted on my Instagram last night. We got this. I got this new car for my wife, and I went to go pick up my daughter. And I'm like sitting there in the rain, and it's like seat heaters, and it's like massaging me, and it's got like navigation, and like everything's like voice to text. I love it. I love it. The idea of having smart homes, and I want to control my appliances from my voice, and all these things. I want that. The smart cities sound great. The problem is who controls it, and the problem with who's controlling it and who's manipulating it is the deep state. And in this regard, this is exactly what's happening. So the deep state, the World Economic Forum, is establishing its GovTech center in Kyiv, in the capital of Ukraine. That's why Ukraine is so important. All of this is happening right there. This is the model city for the rest of the world. So the WEF is going to establish its GovTech center in Kyiv. The future Ukraine sounds fun. But it sounds like a state actor satisfying the WEF, all right? The UN, the WHO, Bill Gates, I mean, all of these deep state directives. But how can technology fix the problem of who controls it? How can technology remedy the corruption that's there, especially in one of the most corrupt nations in the world? Ukraine is widely known as one of the most corrupt nations in the world. As a matter of fact, Ukraine scored 33 out of 100 on corruption in an annual report, near the bottom third of 180 countries. Ukraine scored 33 out of 100 on corruption in 2022, puts the country near the bottom third of 180 countries scored, according to the annual Corruption Perceptions Index, CPI, published this week by nonprofit Transparency International. So how does technology fix that? Well, it doesn't. As a matter of fact, it's only as good as the person whose hands it in. Has as hands that it's in. But let's dig in a little bit, because what I want you to understand is this has always been the plan. What do I mean by that? This is not something brand new. This has always been the plan, and it's actually building on what the UN put forth as something called Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs. Now, I've talked about these before. I've gone through all 17 of them. Again, go to the website. Go to the UN website and just read what their Sustainable Development Goals are, if you want to understand this. But again, it's always the plan. I talked about this story before. I'm just a beach guy. I grew up in Southern California. I'm a surfer guy. Just pretty basic here. But I bought a ranch in Texas a couple years ago. And on the ranch, I have some cows. I got some goats. I got a donkey, things like that. I don't know anything about that. So we have a ranch hand that comes by and helps us. Well, I don't know. Maybe it was close to a year ago now. We had some baby goats. And my kids wanted to go see the baby goats. They're all excited. So we flew out to Texas to go see the baby goats. And unfortunately, some predator had gotten a couple of the baby goats. And so we wanted to protect the baby goats that were left. And so we decided that what we do is each night we take them from the goat pen where they're living, and we take them over to the horse stables that are not too far away. Sounds like a pretty good idea. We could lock it up. That'll probably keep any sort of coyote or mountain lion or whatever it is from getting in overnight. And then in the morning, we'll let it back in the goat pen. But again, I'm just someone from the beach. I don't know anything about living on a ranch or dealing with animals. So how do you get a goat, mama, and a baby, all the way from one side of an acreage, you know, ranch acreage, over to another and inside of a pen? Now, again, I'm not a rancher, but I understand that animals are not so different than humans. And we basically move based off of two things, moving towards pleasure and away from pain, fear and greed, carrot and a stick, whatever you want to call it. So I literally got a carrot. Literally, I had a carrot, and I'm trying to entice the goat with the carrot. And the goat's like following me, and I was just thinking that maybe the baby would follow the mama, which is actually what happened. But the goat was only somewhat interested in the carrot, so then I had to get like a wheelbarrow full of the sweet feed. They love the sweet feed. And so the goat's trying to eat the sweet feed out of the wheelbarrow, and I'm pulling the wheelbarrow over to the horse stable. And luckily, like I said, the baby was kind of following the mama. But at some point, the goat would get distracted and start eating some weeds on the ground and start walking away. And so then we would come up behind it, clap our hands, and we'd scare it. So we'd entice it, and we'd scare it. And it was not a straight line. The goat was meandering back and forth, but eventually we got it into the pen. And we did this every day for like a week. That's exactly what the plan has been. The goal is to get us into a pen, but it's not a straight line. And through enticing us with greed, hey, look how good things can be, but also fear, look how bad things will be, they'll eventually get us in there. So for example, when you start hearing the WEF talking about cyber pandemics and more hacks and things like that, then shoot, that's dangerous. They could destroy the whole world through shutting down the internet. The way to solve it is if we give them total control and they give us all digital IDs, maybe they could prevent that. So that's them clapping their hands behind the goat. Right? Or they entice you. Hey, we'll give you this. Like in China, when they rolled to their CBDCs, they gave everybody free money if they downloaded it. All right. So this has always been the plan. These SDGs have been put forth from the UN for a long time. Now, we should all know that also Davos the WEF and Davos had sort of signaled that they wanted to do this in Ukraine for a long time. As a matter of fact, at this last meeting they had in January, they talked about the whole theme of this meeting was rebuilding trust, which highlights Ukraine and this fourth industrial revolution. Now, importantly, USAID's ambassador, Power, worked under the Obama administration to negotiate and implement, again, these UN Sustainable Development Goals, which are part of this digital aid, which is part of this fourth industrial revolution. It's sort of this the earlier start of it. Now, they've been working with Bill Gates. They've been working with Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla to accelerate obtaining these goals. Now, in an article I was reading by Hoffman, he talked about how the WEFers are, you know, the globalists, and he explained it this way. He summed it up. Is it making more sense now why the WEF, Western puppet leaders in Washington, London, Ottawa, Paris, Geneva, and Berlin are so dead set on defending Ukraine against Russian aggression? Why? It's because they want this city to be the blueprint. The blueprint for what? The blueprint for the New World Order. I know this sounds crazy. I hate even telling you this, but this is what's going on. The New World Order runs directly through Ukraine. It's one of the main nerve centers of globalism, of sex trafficking, U.S.-controlled biolabs, money laundering for the rich, for the powerful, and they can't lose that hub. It's the main corridor that connects all of this, and they're sending billions of dollars over there to get taken out of the country, and unfortunately, they're sending millions of their own people into the meat grinder to die defending it. All right. As I said from the beginning, it's pretty widely accepted at this point that Ukraine can't win. Ukraine's not going to get the land back from Russia. It's probably not going to happen. Most likely there's going to be some sort of a truce and it'll be called off there. Now, there's another potential thought that I have here is that the U.S. just wants the Cold War because the U.S. needs to be in a perpetual state of war, one, for emergency powers, but two, for the military-industrial complex. We were warned about this by President Eisenhower when he left office, warning us that the biggest danger the American people faced was the military-industrial complex. So they always need that enemy, and maybe it's just a new Cold War, but it's also the conduit for all of this grift. And like I said, it's widely known and pretty accepted that they're not going to win the war, so why do they want to continue to send their people into the meat grinder? Well, that's the next part of this, because now Ukraine decided to do another draft. And as a matter of fact, Ukraine wants to draft, another 500,000 citizens into the military. But now that they have this DIA app in place, you won't even believe what they're willing to do to get these people in. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the globalist blueprint of what's going on in Ukraine and how they're planning to bring this to the rest of the world. I'm going to be back with more about what they're doing with these potential soldiers they're trying to draft in this app. You don't want to miss it. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about what is going on in Ukraine. We're talking about the DIA app that they've just put forth. We're talking about the partnership they announced just a few weeks ago at the World Economic Forum and how Ukraine is basically the hub of these new smart cities and how they're pushing tech through there, specifically built around an app called DIA, D-I-I-A, which is basically the state in the palm of your hand, as they're calling it. Now, once they get your entire life in an app, meaning they can turn you on and off with the flip of a switch, they can control your money, they can control your property, the deed to your house, your stocks, your passport, your citizenship, your medical records, control everything. When they can control that, then they basically own you. You don't like what they say, then they just shut you off or they manipulate something or whatever they want. Now, I know it's hard for a lot of people to think about this. Like, there's no way a government would ever do that. I mean, the government is run by the people, right? I mean, doesn't the government work for the people? How could they do this against the people? Oh, I mean, they always have everyone's best interest in hand. They would never do anything like that, would they? Would they? Well, in China, they certainly do. Okay, but that's China. I mean, that's communist China. What about in the West? I mean, I thought Ukraine is a democracy, right? Well, let's take a look. Now, as we know, like I said, the Ukraine soldiers have been just being slaughtered, and it's not something I'm flipping about. It's a very big deal. It's a bad deal. I'm not happy that this war has continued and so many people have been killed over there. But as you might imagine, Ukrainians, one, they're running out of Ukrainians to send into the meat grinder, but two, the other ones that are still there don't want to go. The number of volunteers, soldier volunteers, has been dwindling, as you know, and we're now going into the third year. And so in the new bill that Ukraine has put forward to now draft more soldiers into the military, they put a bill forward that proposes, get this, you're going to love it, requiring potential military personnel who are abroad to have up-to-date military registration. And obtaining such a document would be a prerequisite to receiving consular services. So even if you don't live in Ukraine, you still have to have all your military registration up to date. And if you don't, then you basically get no benefits. You know, you're basically a person without a country. All right. Now, on top of that, it proposes tighter sanctions for draft evasion. So if they want you to come back and you don't, or you don't register, then they got you. By the short end of the stick, we'll call it that, right? Because they have your whole life in this app. What could they do? Well, in the bill, it says specifically, the tighter sanctions for draft evasion, including asset freezing. So all your property, all your money, all your citizenship, with a push of a button, just turned off. That's it. Now, through the app, they can also do online call-ups. So right now, it's a lot harder to be conscripted. You say, oh, I didn't get it. Like, I didn't get the jury duty notice. I didn't get the report for duty notice. However, when it's in the app, you can't say that. And if you do say that, then they just turn you off. And when you call up customer support to get your app turned back on, they say, oh, it's because you didn't respond to duty. So it's something that is completely unavoidable now at this point. Now, Ukraine intends on drafting 500,000 more citizens in order for this war to continue. It said in the report, Kyiv's parliament, which now outlaws opposition parties. Listen to that. The parliament now outlaws opposition parties. Sort of like what we're seeing in the United States. What the Biden administration is doing is trying to get the opposition party, the Trump party, off of the ballot. They're trying to outlaw them. They're trying to, anything he does is illegal. If he didn't like the way the election went, that was breaking the law. States say that he can't even run. And I know some of you might be, but Mark, you don't understand. He's crazy. He's bad. He said mean things. I get it. Still, you don't outlaw the opposition. That's what they're doing in Kyiv. And it says that they will soon allow for bank account seizures as a punishment for non-compliance. Ukrainians abroad will have their assets frozen. So it's pretty funny, isn't it? Not if you're living it. But the U.S. State Department forced all the Ukrainians to tie their financial assets to their smartphones by developing the DIIA smart state in a smartphone app. So basically, the U.S. government, with your tax dollars, using U.S. aid, gave all this money and helped Ukraine build out this app and then forced all Ukrainians to then tie their entire life into this app. Now, Ukrainians who try not to die just get all their assets seized. Now, I know this sounds crazy. This, you know, something that you would hear over in China for sure. And I thought we were fighting for freedom in Ukraine, maybe for democracy. I didn't think it would happen there, but I guess it could happen over there. It could never happen in the United States though, right? Well, if you remember not that long ago, I think it was about a year ago, PayPal, good old trusty PayPal basically did the same thing. Now, it wasn't the government, but this was October of 2022. PayPal tells users it will fine them $2,500 for misinformation. So if anybody said something that PayPal didn't like, then they were going to deduct $2,500 out of their account. You remember that? Then PayPal quickly apologized. The uproar was so loud that PayPal quickly apologized. They backtracked on that. They called it a confusion, claiming it was an error, but then put it back into place. There was like a whole movement, you know, delete PayPal, all of those things. They were just mad that they got caught. That's what the deal was. They basically wanted to freeze your funds for thought crimes. And this was in the US. So this is the same thing. It's all the same thing. Now, this is what happens when you put your entire life into an app that you don't control, that somebody else controls. So what do we do about this? Well, there's a couple of things that we can do about it. First of all, you cannot have all your life into one app that they can control. That's number one. So you always have to understand, what is the risk? What is it that I'm trying to protect myself against? So then I know how to set up a good defense. So in 1933, the U.S. government, yes, the U.S. government seized everyone's money. All the gold that was in the banks, they just took it. Shut the banks down on holiday. When they opened it back up, you couldn't get your gold out. How would you protect yourself against something like that? Well, you don't have all your money in the bank. If I had a ranch with a bunch of cattle and I didn't have gold in the bank, I wasn't affected. So number one, don't have all your money in the bank. Don't have all your money in a place that you can steal. Now, what about if all your real estate deeds, all your business certificates, all of that's in the app too? What do you do about that? Well, you might want to own assets outside of the country. And I know this sounds tough for some of you. Maybe you don't even have enough money to live right now. So if you don't have enough money to live, you have your own set of problems. That's a whole different set of stories. Right now, we're talking about how does the Ukrainian government force people to do this? And they do it by controlling their assets. So if you don't have any assets, I guess you don't have anything to control. But the goal is to get whatever assets that you have under your control. And of course, the easiest way to own real property, real assets that can be 100% under your control is with Bitcoin. So with Bitcoin, I can own $1 worth, $5 worth, $50 worth, $50 billion worth of Bitcoin, and I can have it in my own hardware wallet, my own app. I can control it, and nobody can take it from me. I can go anywhere in the world, and I can take that with me just by knowing 12 words in my head. So you don't have to have a ranch overseas or a house overseas or a business overseas. You can have digital private property that can be instantly transferred, can be privately held, can be securely held without any big deal, right? If you had a bunch of gold or you have a bunch of house, how do you protect that from the state? Even if you have a house, even if you have a ranch like I do in Texas, even if I have it paid off 100% in cash, I still have to pay the government every single month for it. And if I don't pay the government my rent every month, my rent being my property taxes, they take it from me. You can have gold in your safe, and I do have gold in my safe, and you should do that. But it's very hard to move gold out of the country if I had to do that. You can't take more than $10,000 worth of assets out of the country. Money in the bank can be frozen. They can stop my wire transfer, but Bitcoin can't. So we have a way to protect our assets. The second thing you can do is make some noise. Talk to your politicians, talk to your friends, talk to your family members, spread the word. We've already done a good job waking the world up to CBDCs. It's worked out very well to push back on this in the United States, but the fight is not even begun yet, and so it's not time to let up. Anyway, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show, talking about the blueprint. what's going on with the globalist blueprint over in Ukraine and how it's a plan for the rest of the world, so you know what's coming next. That's what I got. Thanks so much for listening. Till next time.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.